This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Doesn't really change anything, but it was a big win for Arkansas this
week. Oh, I thought you were going to rain on everyone's parade and say the refereeing wasn't as bad as people said. I thought that was the parade people wanted to have today.
Yeah, man. That was a rough one. I will say this, though. And, of course, I tweeted out that they were cheating, but, you know, I kind of was just feeding into what everybody else was saying. Do I think that refs mess games up at times? Yes, I do. But do I think that they blatantly go out there and go, okay, I want LSU to win? No. I think, and I could be wrong, Tommy, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I think officials get into the flow of a game, just like basketball players get into a flow, football players get into a flow. I think they get into a flow, and whenever they kind of set the tone of, like, this is how the game's going to go, these are the type of fouls that we're going to call, these are the type of fouls that we're not going to call. Sometimes teams see that and they take advantage of the flow, however the referee has kind of set the tone. And so I felt like this weekend, why it was so lopsided is LSU saw what the refs were calling, they saw what the refs weren't calling, and then LSU kind of got into the flow of that and got into the rhythm of what was going to be called a foul, and you know, that's kind of – how it went. But I never think that an official, outside of the guy that used to bet on the games, I never think an official does that.
Well, let's talk about actual players in the game. Gafford, once again, just...
What does he like about LSU? Something about him.
Yeah, undresses LSU. And some guy named Keyshawn Embry-Simpson joined the team this weekend. I think most of the fans did not know this guy was on the team. He was the difference maker.
He was.
16 points out of nowhere in 22 minutes. And you say, well... Trust me, you don't win the game without this guy.
Mm-mm.
This dude,
what do you have?
This dude won
the first half.
Yeah,
13 or 12 in the first half. Yeah, I mean, he was the biggest difference. And not only did he win you the game, but you know, prior to this, he wasn't hitting anything. So it's not like he's averaging 8 and now he goes to 16. He wasn't doing a thing. He wasn't contributing at all. And in fact, it seemed like every time he shot, it was a turnover because he wasn't making any shots. He wasn't getting any assists. So. He definitely stepped up big.
Well, what was crazy about this game, too, because there's a lot of things we're going to unfold, and, of course, we're going to get into all those things as the show goes on. But you think about it, and I'm sure that when you guys were watching, you thought the same thing. When Daniel Gafford fouled out, which it was him, Jalen Harris, and Gabe Osaboyan, all had fouled out. He was the third player to foul out. I sat back and was like, well, this is Arkansas is going to lose this one. They're going to give up this 18-point lead, which they were only – it was a close game when Daniel Gafford fouled out. I think it was like with a minute and a half, two minutes left to go in the game. It was back and forth. I said, and I think that most people did, was like, it's all over for the Razorbacks because without your best player on there, you got who are you going to rely on?
I didn't think you could win it without Jalen Harris because who was going to bring the ball up against that pressure? Who was going to handle the basketball against? Because that was how you let an 18-point lead get away, was the press. That's how LSU got back in the game, was the press. And I, if you'd have told me they were going to win without Gafford and Harris on the floor, I'd have said, no. How much? How much you want to bet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to go to overtime, and that's why I thought it was over. I was like, Gafford's out. This game's going to go into overtime. You're not going to have Gafford, and you're going to look up and LSU's going to win by 10. But LSU has actually, if you go back and look at all of their games, the biggest difference that they've had and the thing that they've had working for them is they know how to finish. And everybody that they've played against doesn't know how to finish. Like, Missouri was up on LSU five or six points under a minute, and somehow they lost by 5. And, you know, and I can go on down the list of how many teams played LSU close, but at the end, LSU knows how to finish, and then the other teams don't. And man, I just didn't think Arkansas was going to be able to get a good attempt off, and it ended up being LSU taking two or three bad attempts at the end.
Well, that was something that, of course, I wanted to bring up because, again, there's a lot of things going on in this game. But the play of the game, in my opinion, was the decision by LSU to try to throw an alley-oop with 36 seconds left to go in the game. Yeah. And they had like 20-some-odd seconds left in the shot clock.
That was awful.
And I'm they had the lead. And so I'm sitting there, and when that happened, and because, of course, it was an errant pass. It went off the back of the backboard or whatever, so it was out of bounds, Arkansas's ball. And, I mean, I follow a lot of people, LSU beat writers and whatnot, and they were just as shocked as I was. I couldn't believe that that was a play. I couldn't believe that gave Arkansas the victory, essentially, because you gave them an opportunity to bring it down the court and all that. And so when I saw that, it was just like, man, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes it's like
because you were up, or LSU was up 89-88 at that point.
That's right.
And that gave Arkansas the chance to move ahead by the final score.
And it makes me think, I was like, you know what, that would be something that would happen to Arkansas. It'd be Arkansas, like Jalen Harris trying to throw an oop to Daniel Gafford or something like that. That would be an Arkansas type of play, but it was nice for Razorback fans to kind of be on the beneficial side of that for once. Mm-hmm. And to see that not only happen, but for them to get the opportunity, Mason Jones go down and hit a big shot. And then also, I'll hate to use the word lucky, but it was where LSU had a couple of decent looks at the end of the game to hit a shot. I believe it was Naz Reid that had a really good look, but just couldn't finish.
Okay, Isaiah Joe saves it back in bounds on LSU's end of the floor.
Yes.
Your thought on that? Because, I mean, one of my first thoughts when learning to play basketball in like third grade was you never save the ball in bounds on your opponent's end of the floor because it's always 5-on-4.
Yeah.
But the clock would stop, give them a chance to set something up. Maybe they use a timeout there because Will Wade had chosen not to use his timeout there and just kind of let it play out. You okay with him saving that in that kind of set up one of those opportunities, or is that one you let it go out of bounds?
That time,
that'd have been a baseline inbound,
right? That time I was okay with it, but in the future, because how many
because
times
as a rule you don't do that, right?
Yes. How many times do you see yourself saving it inbounds, and as you throw it right to the other team, and then they shoot a layup? So as a rule, moving forward, I probably would just let it go out of bounds. But once you see how it played out, I'd much rather LSU have done that versus getting the ball right under the basket. And, oh, by the way, you don't have Daniel Gafford in. And not only did you not have Daniel Gafford, but now you only have one post player in.
Yeah. I mean, it worked out, obviously, because Arkansas wins the game. But that was dangerous, I thought. I thought they avoided one there because, as we were talking about, on that trip in LSU's half court, they got a couple decent looks that all hit the rim, but none went down.
This is for sure going to be the what-if season, though. And I can already hear it. I can already see it. Arkansas is going to have a couple other games like this where they beat somebody probably that they shouldn't beat. And at the end of the year, whenever they're on the bubble or whenever they're in the NIT, whatever the case may be, we're going to go back and look at, because, you know, Arkansas could have beat LSU the first time around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Arkansas could have beat Texas, and Arkansas could have beat, and we're going to go, they could have beat Georgia Tech, they could have beat
Arkansas
Western
could be
Kentucky.
A ranked team right now.
And so this is going to be the what if season. What if they could have finished this? What if they could have finished that? What if they had a few better players? And I can already
see.
And
there's really only been two games, I would say, now correct me if I'm missing one, Indiana and then LSU on Saturday, that they won, and you said, boy, they were that could have went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing any other game that, you know, was close? I mean,
there was a few games that were close, like Texas A&M on the road. They only beat by 2 points in that game, and it was a close matchup. And, you know, Texas State, they only beat by 3. So, I mean, there were some other close games, too. But, yeah, those were the big ones that could have easily gone.
I really felt like in those two games they really escaped.
Oh, yes, yes.
Really escaped. I mean, well, I know there's been close games, but those two games, it seemed like they just, to reverse the phrase, they defied defeat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Indiana game, remember, the guy missed the layup.
Yeah, right, it was
point blank.
Wide open.
I mean, had the ball palmed in his hand, and was right under the basket and missed it.
You add all that up, and you equate all – Arkansas's probably two wins better than their record indicates right now, maybe 3 could just be.
Well, if
depends
you
on
know,
how you want to balance. I mean, I'm just saying there's a couple of games that could have went the other way. You know, we look at the Texas game. We look at Western Kentucky. And you know, we look at some of those Georgia Tech game. But there's also, to me, I look at the Indiana and the LSU game where, well, you had it. You were staring defeat right down the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Right down the barrel of the gun, and somehow you got a pardon.
If you knew how to finish, though, yeah. Because, and we talked about this, the biggest difference from whenever Mike had the really good team with Bobby Portis and Mike Qualls, and then came back the next year and went 15-15 or 14-14, whatever that record was. The biggest difference was in games decided by 5 points with Bobby Portis and those guys, they were like 10-2, and then the next year they were like 2-10. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the same song this year.
Want to win a Bud Light cooler? Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Like, share, and retweet the post for your chance to win. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
As you're just joining us, we've been talking a lot about Arkansas's great victory over the LSU Tigers over the weekend.
30 to play, 25 to shoot.
Find a way.
Jones into the front court, picked up by Waters. Mason, left side of the key, pulls up in the paint, lays it up and in. Hogs by one with 22 seconds to go. Taylor out on the floor to Reed at the high post. Drives around Chaney, spins in the lane, missed the layup, fight for the rebound. Joe saves it. 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Smart, baseline jumper, no. 2 seconds, 1 second. Reed at the horn, no. Arkansas wins. The Razorbacks have won it. The Hogs have upset them. 90-89, the final score. Arkansas survives, and they win the ball game.
In case you were wondering, that was not a possum that found its way onto the broadcast. That was Coach Zimmerman with his giggle, his laugh of excitement with Arkansas getting the victory. And here's the thing about this game is not only is it a big victory because you go on the road and you beat a top 25 team, a top 20 team in this case, but LSU was one of the hottest teams in the country. They were 7-0 in SEC play, 17-3 overall. And they returned the favor because Arkansas was a great game at Bud Walton Arena and ended up being the opposite end of it for LSU's sake, but Arkansas getting the victory now. So my question becomes, what does this game mean? Does this change anything? Does this change far as the outlook? Because obviously it's a great win, yeah, but does it change? Does it now all of a sudden take us back into the fact of this team can still make the tournament off a win like this?
I mean, this is the... A Q1 win, you need a quadrant one win you were looking for. Quality win on the road against a ranked opponent. Arkansas had won some conference games ahead of that, but as we talked heading into this game at the end of last week, yes, but it was against Georgia. It was against Missouri. It was against the teams that were at the A&M. Those were your three victories, all three at the bottom of the league. This is a qualifying victory here. This is a victory that you can be very proud of when it comes to who it was against in this league. So, you know, now, let's see, it was 7 of 11 after last week's game, so now you got to find a way to win 6 of the last 10 to get into the conversation, and that moves you one step closer to that. So, but in the end, you're going to need some quality road wins to show the committee. You got one now.
I'm going no, and the reason I'm going with no, the people that are complaining about Mike Anderson don't care about just getting into the tournament. And they don't even care about winning one game in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
People keep bringing up what? What's the one stat that we always hear about every team in the SEC has done this more recently than
Made
Arkansas?
Made it to the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
And that's everybody's biggest issue. So beating LSU in February on the road to improve to 13-8 overall – does that, big picture-wise, no. It does not change anything for the people that want Mike Anderson out. Now, on the other side, though, for the people that are arguing for him to stay, and what has our argument been, or not even ours, but we always say, you know, when Mike Anderson looks like, I mean, like he's almost like a boxer, and it's like he's about to get knocked out. Then something happens, and he throws a haymaker, and he knocks the other guy out. Mm-hmm. This was the haymaker that we're always talking about whenever his backs are against the ropes. He always finds a way to win a big game. Then he'll reel off 4 or 5 in a row, and then you'll be looking, and then you'll go, well, man, he made it to the tournament again. Now it's 4 out of 5 years. You can't fire him. And he just seems to always do those things. So we're still in the state of confusion because there's still that huge divide. Mike Anderson did not win over anybody after beating LSU. The people that still have a problem with him have a problem with his postseason record, not his regular season record. And the people that are for him, though, they're even more for him now because they're saying, look, a young team, a team that I don't care what anybody says, this team's still not that talented. They're very, very young. If you're looking on paper, LSU is two or three times better than Arkansas on paper. Arkansas should not have won that game, and Mike Anderson did it. So I think everybody that's for Mike Anderson is still for him. Everybody that's against him is still against him.
The last time I checked, you can't make the Sweet 16 if you don't make the tournament.
Yeah.
So you need wins true. Like this to make the tournament. I don't know if they're going to make the tournament. I've just been talking about you got to have some wins, and you got to get to like 10 SEC wins is what we've been saying to get in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying that guarantees you. We believe on this show, or I believe, and I think y'all are in agreement with me, 9-9's probably not even going to get you in the conversation, not even on the bubble. I'm not sure 10 gets you in, but I think you're at least considered at 10.
The only chance you have in winning 9 and getting in is if all 9 of those wins are against Kentucky, Auburn, Ole Miss.
Well, that's that ain't happening.
Right,
so.
Right. And that's not
so
realistic.
All I'm saying is it's a long season still to be played out, and you needed this win to move a step towards a tournament berth, and you can't get to the Sweet 16 unless you get in the tournament.
And here's the thing. They have 10 regular season games left, not including the SEC tournament, 10 regular season games left. And just to go quickly through the schedule, just so everybody knows exactly where they're standing at, they have Vanderbilt tomorrow night. They should win that game going away. Vanderbilt is horrible.
Is that at home or
that's
on the
road? At Bud Walton. Okay. So, yeah, they should win that game. Then they go on the road to South Carolina. Which South Carolina, their overall record isn't good at 11-10, but they're sitting at 6-2 in SEC play.
They've been playing very well since the first of the year.
Yeah, so there's no guarantees there. But then you go on the road to Missouri, which they're not a good team. You return home and play Mississippi State on that Saturday on February 16th. So we'll see how that plays out. You go on the road to Auburn, then back home to Texas A&M, on the road to Kentucky, back home for Ole Miss, then at Vanderbilt, then playing Alabama at home.
I got 7 of those as winnable.
I do too.
Should win.
That's the exact same number I came up with.
Hold on. Winnable or should win?
I have winnable. Winnable.
You should win. Okay, we could break those down into two buckets because you should win against Vanderbilt. You should win against Texas A&M. I mean, those are games that you should win.
Yes.
I guess it'd be easier to exclude, like, road game at South Carolina, don't have you winning there. At Auburn, at Kentucky, don't think you're winning those games. Had one more in there somewhere, but. Yeah, I know that'd be 3. So, could you win seven of the last 10? I don't think this team will win 7 of the last 10.
No.
Because that would get them, if they did win 7 of the
last 10.
That'd
be 11 conference wins.
That'd be 11 and 7. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, people out there. If Mike Anderson finds a way to make it to the tournament this year, for those of you that want him out, man, you may want to pick a new basketball team to cheer for. Because if he makes the tournament this year, he will be here for a minimum of 4 more years.
I agree with you.
And I know I'm going to get all these tweets saying, I'm not telling you what I would do. I'm not making the call. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. If he goes to the tournament with this team this year, please do not tweet me or text me about him getting fired for at least 4 more years.
Yeah.
Because it's no point.
Five's like the minimum number. I mean, you just look at the games because you got Vanderbilt coming up in this schedule twice, right?
Yeah, you do.
You play A&M again at home, not a very good team. So you just look at some of these games and where they're at, who they're against, and Alabama on senior night, which I know that it's a little bit different this year with
this
team.
Because you don't have any seniors.
But it's the last game at home this year, but maybe that's a better way to put it.
It'll be Gafford senior night that night.
Imagine they'll honor him. There's 5. You got to win at least 5 of them. Now that would get you to 9-9.
That's not enough.
But
enough for the NIT, maybe, but not enough.
So I mean, that's how the math's working with me.
But they always play good in SEC tournament. This is the one thing though that everybody needs to just kind of take a step back and be cautious of. Arkansas has not been hit with the injury bug, and they have not been hit with the freshman or newcomer hitting a wall. Because if you look, it seems like every time you think, okay, Isaiah Joe's about to hit a wall.
Well,
Isaiah Joe didn't start off very well against LSU. He ended up with 18 points. He had a stretch where he didn't play well for
first, think, like 3 league games he did
think,
not play well.
You know, but now he's been able to bounce back. And when I'm saying freshman wall, I'm talking about freshman hitting a wall and falling off and just not being good until the next season. So you hadn't been hit with the injury bug for important players. And none of your newcomers, which is everybody everybody is almost a newcomer.
So this recent run they're making, most recent win, of course, against LSU, but before that,
they beat Georgia, played decent against Texas Tech.
you know,
beat Missouri,
beat Missouri for that. So this
four-game stretch of good play.
Is it sustainable, Nick? Is this is the level of play they're at now good enough to win six or seven of the last 10, number one, and is it sustainable?
Here's what I've said since the beginning. Arkansas Steel, it's one of those to where they are in conference, they are beating teams that they're better than. They're on paper, they are beating teams that they have more talent than right now. LSU showed us an example of them being able to expand and beat somebody that they weren't better than. I do think they're going to be able to win a couple of more games because the league's just not very good. Vandy is, I mean, the league this year, how many awful teams are out there? Vanderbilt's awful. Georgia's the worst team I've seen play this year.
Yeah.
Georgia's
A&M's
bad.
Awful.
Texas A&M
Missouri
is awful.
Not right.
Missouri is awful. So you're talking about four teams that are just awful. And going into the year, I didn't think those teams were going to be that bad. Mm-hmm. That's why I just was like, oh, it's going to be impossible for this team to make it to the tournament.
Three of your last 10, though, are against those teams.
Right. And when I say bad, just go out and watch.
Four with A&M.
Just go out and watch your local high school team. And tell me you're not seeing the same things happen in those games that you're seeing whenever Vanderbilt takes the court or Missouri takes the court.
Want to win a Bud Light cooler? Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Like, share, and retweet the post for your chance to win. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the phone lines and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette 27 Money. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Yeah, doing great, man. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, we've had a lot to talk about today. We want to jump right into it with you. We'll start with the Razorback basketball victory over LSU over the weekend. Surprising to a lot of people. I don't think anybody really thought Arkansas had a real chance in this one, but they go on the road, had an 18-point lead, blew it late, but still held on to the victory. What was your overall takeaway from this game and what it means going forward for the Razorbacks?
Obviously, huge victory. When you think about going into it, very little chance for the Razorbacks to go in there and win, but based on how they had been playing, how they had been starting games, and how they had been rebounding versus how LSU had been playing. But Will Wade put it best, I thought. He said, we've been walking a tightrope for a couple of weeks, and this, you know, it's, when you're walking a tightrope, sooner or later you fall off, and they did. So Arkansas got the biggest win so far in conference play, in my view. You know, Vanderbilt almost beat Tennessee, which would have been bigger upset, but this was the biggest one. And who knows? I mean, this could be a game that can turn Arkansas season around. It was such an impressive thing because they can bottle that up and have some performances like that. They've got some winnable home games, as we talked about last week, and if they could pull off another one on the road somewhere, maybe they can get themselves to 500 in SEC. That might get you to the tournament.
Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, 6 of 9 from the floor, 16 points in 22 minutes. Tom, this kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and they said he'd been practicing well lately, so it didn't surprise them. But without him, they don't have a chance to win the game. It took all the things that happened. It took Isaiah Joe bouncing back from his illness. It took Gabe Osaboyan with 5 assists and 3 charges drawn to do it. But the 3-point shooting was really it's what neutralized everything LSU was doing. You know, LSU did a good job of driving and being very physical and getting a lot of fouls called against them. Whereas when Arkansas drove, there wasn't a whole lot of whistle blowing. But yeah, Keyshawn Embry-Simpson had a huge game, and it just goes to show you that when you can have something like that off your bench to supplement your starters, what it can do for you.
Tom, Daniel Gafford in this game was a monster. 23 points, he had 8 rebounds, 11-15 shooting. And against LSU earlier this season, he had 32 points. So you're talking about 55 points that Daniel Gafford's had against LSU. Is it about the matchup? Is it about the way that they're playing against him? What is it about LSU that Gafford's just been able to find a hole and really make them pay for it down low?
Yeah, I think it's the way LSU plays them. Naz Reid is kind of doesn't he's on him, but he doesn't want the contact. He wants to stay in, as Dan put it, he wants to stay in the game. So So, Daniel gets to the hole. I mean, he had multiple dunks. They had ran a couple of nice offensive sets early in the game that got him going. One of them was a screen for Harris, a pick and roll, but Harris took the jumper and made it. And then the next one, a give and go, Gafford to Joe, and Gafford rolls to the hole, and good pass by Joe, and Gafford converts. He was a physical force. He played a little bit stronger with the ball in his hands through contact, and I think he's shooting somewhere around 75%. So Gafford was in fine spirits. I think he might have missed out on that dance party Mike was having in the locker room, because he had to do the SEC Network and he had to do something else. And but those guys had a ball, and you know they went down there and earned that win, because you know what, they shot well enough and did all that well enough to win the game, but they truly overcame, I just thought, a ton of missed call. It was almost like LSU got to play one way, and Arkansas had to play another way, and they got three guys foul out.
Arkansas's 13-8 now, 4-4 in SEC play. 10 games remain in the regular season. Tom, what is the path to get the Razorbacks into the NCAA tournament?
So they're sitting at 500. You got to win all your home games, I think. And I don't know if 9-9 in the league is going to do it. They might have to win another road game. I mean, the quadrant one wins are huge. You know, it'd be nice if Ole Miss started playing better, you know, and they beat them again, and they beat them at home. The Kentucky game, very, very difficult to win. But I think if you wind up at 10-8, you've got yourself a chance. But they've got work to do. Their net ranking has got to get better.
See what Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, let's switch up a little bit to the Super Bowl last night. There's a lot of storylines that came from it. I thought it was a boring game. Not a bad game, just a very boring game with the Patriots getting a 13-3 victory. What'd you think of it?
Well, you're of a generation that likes to see explosive offensive
That's
football.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Now, I appreciated the work that went in by both teams to limit what were two very good offenses. So, I do respect that. But it was somewhat boring. I mean, when you watch the Rams this year, they were fun. They were inventive. You know, not quite on the Chiefs level. It, in some ways, though, could score like the Chiefs. But they missed Cooper Kupp. There's no doubt about it. I don't think they got their tight ends involved enough. Todd Gurley surely was not 100%. So the one run game wasn't really established. New England schemed them up very well. And so you get that. And someone called it the day before or right going into the weekend that we were due a kind of a yawner Super Bowl, and it was. And I didn't care really about either team in it, so it was among the most nonchalant Super Bowls that I've seen in a few decades.
I saw Tim Brando and some others had kind of their opinion on Twitter. The league deserved a clunker of a Super Bowl. Ooh. After all of the drama in the no calls and everything surrounding the conference championship games. Now, fairness, Tim Brando lives in the state of Louisiana, so.
Exactly. Well, yeah, he'll have that. But a lot of people on the internet did too. You know, Twitter people had that too. Like, that's what you get when, you know, two games are decided like that. The New Orleans one was really a bad deal, and you know, I hate it for Atlanta that it wasn't a good football game, but. Yeah, the Rams acted like a team that, you know, knew that they shouldn't have been there in a way.
Tom, any commercials that stood out to you? Any in the halftime performance? Were you a big fan of that? Anything besides the game that stood out to you?
Yeah, well, you know, the Washington Post commercial was obviously impactful. I did not see all of them, and I did not see Adam Levine or the other two acts. I'm not a fan of like having a bunch of fans come out on the field at halftime. To me, it's you're trying to broaden your appeal in some way. I mean, they were touting that as the biggest musical event of the year. Are you kidding me?
No.
You know, it was 20 minutes or so of music on a football field. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to get a little bit jaded about the whole who's singing the national anthem. Although, hey, look, Gladys Knight, sweet, man. She's great. Yeah. But the whole halftime thing, I wasn't big on Imagine Dragons at halftime of the championship game, and I wasn't big last night.
Hey, we're less than 2 weeks from Razorback baseball beginning. We had, like, perfect opening weekend weather this weekend, so I would imagine we're going to pay for it in a couple of weekends with, like, 30 and 40 degree temperatures. But I know a lot of fans out there are excited about Razorback baseball coming off a historically great season, beginning their season in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I think they have a chance to be pretty good too, and build into a good contender in the postseason. You know, starting pitching is going to be big. You know, Campbell's got to be the hoss that that he's been building up to be, you know, to be your staff ace. If Connor Nolan is able to be something for him, that would be a huge X factor. The left-hander Wicklander looks like he could be a guy to contribute. I think the bullpen's going to be super strong. Dave doesn't think they're going to be, you know, the kind of the home run mashing team they were before, but they might be a little bit more aggressive on the base pass. So, you know, I think a different complexion to this team. I still think they're going to hit some home runs, and they might have to space, the way he was talking, they might have to space Fletcher and Casey Martin and Heston Kjerstad through the lineup and not kind of have them bunch, say, you know, 2-3-4 or 1-3-4, something like that. But we'll see how that plays out. And if they can get some guys come in, hit for average in some of the spaces that they've lost people, I think they're going to be a solid contender, and obviously they're going to be fun to watch. Yeah, this could be another good season for the Razorbacks.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Great stuff as always, Tom. Appreciate it, man. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, all right?
All right, guys. See y'all.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on hitthatline.com.